All right, good morning, everyone. So I thought, with your permission, we'll take a little bit, well, even without your permission, because I prepared the shiur already, we're going to take a little bit just of a break this week from Perek Shira to focus a little bit on the upcoming Yom Tov of Shavuos. So in past years also, when we were doing Tehillim, usually the shiur before Shavuos, I focused on something regarding Shavuos related, usually something concerning Matan Torah, something concerning Sinaitic revelation, the incredible story, the unfolding of Kabbalah HaTorah. This year I'd like to do something a little bit different. I'd like to draw your attention to what I think is one of the most fascinating minhagim, customs of Shavuos. And with that, let's take a look at number one. Shulchan Aruch paskins, v'noagin b'chol makom, le'echom ma'achal echalav, b'yom rishon shel Shavuos. The custom is that we eat milchiks, we eat dairy food items on the Yom Tov of Shavuos. Interestingly enough, the Mechaber, the Shulchan Aruch, discusses on the first day of Shavuos. We're not going to get into different details over here, but there's a custom to eat milchiks on Shavuos. Why is this a fascinating minog? Because in general, if you take a look at number two, so the Rambam in Hilchos Yom Tov, the laws of Yom Tov, writes as follows: Shivas Yomim Pesach, Shmona Simeachag, Shar Yomim Tovim, Kulam Asurim Behesped V'Tainus, V'Chayiv Adam Lihios Bohen Sameach V'Tov Lev. There is a biblical obligation to rejoice on Yom Tov. That biblical obligation is V'Samachta B'Chagecha. Obligation to rejoice. This, by the way, manifests itself in a variety of different ways. This is, we know, there's a very dramatic halacha that says that even if a person is in the midst of Shiva, a person is in the midst of Avelos, Yom Tov comes, Yom Tov goes ahead and stops that. I remember the first Levaya that I ever did in the Rabbanos was actually a Levaya that occurred 2 hours before Sukkot. 2 hours before Sukkot, and again, if you're into a Levaya like that, it's very difficult because the Avelim sit for a few minutes right there in the cemetery, and that is the end of Shiva. Why is that the end of Shiva? Because there is a biblical obligation of V'samachta Bechagecha. There is a biblical obligation to rejoice. Avelos is derabanan. Mourning practices, almost all of them, are rabbinic in nature. There is a biblical obligation to rejoice, and as such, the biblical obligation to rejoice supersedes any rabbinic obligation or personal need to go ahead and mourn. So the Rambam goes on. Skip down a little bit. Number three. So that's very nice. It's a mitzvah to rejoice. But you know, what's the problem with this mitzvah to rejoice? What's the problem? At first glance, it's very ambiguous and amorphous. So what does that mean? I should do what makes me happy on Yom Tov. So whatever gives me joy, I should do. We understand that's a pretty dangerous thing to say to people. So therefore, the Rambam comes along and quantifies the halacha. Ketzad, so essentially what the Rambam says is, everyone is besimcha in different ways. Hakitanim, for children, what gives them simcha? Nostalem klayos, ve'egozim, umigdanos. Children have clearly changed a lot since the times of the Rambam. So the Rambam says, what do you do for the kid? Kids, give them roasted kernels of wheat, give them some nuts, some treats, and that's all that they need. That's for children. Nashim, women, konalahen begadim, vitachshitim na'in kefi mamono. So for women, again, there's clothing, there's jewelry. This specific obligation devolves upon a husband to make sure that his wife has something beautiful to wear on Yom Tov, beautiful jewelry, kefi mamono, in accordance with his financial standing. A person is not obligated to impoverish themselves, but this is an obligation. Halachic, ladies, I'm giving you good ammunition here, right? This is a halachic obligation. This is not nice. This is not, you're so thoughtful. No, I'm speaking to the right crew. The men, I'll say it, they'll forget it 30 seconds later. Right? You won't forget this. This is a biblical obligation, a halachic obligation to go ahead and v'samachta b'chagecha means you have an obligation to rejoice and ensure that everyone around you is happy as well. So a husband has an obligation to make sure that his wife has a new outfit, that his wife has jewelry for Yom Tov. What about for men? So, and he goes on, he says, v'anoshim ochlim basar v'shosim yayin. Men eat meat, drink wine. Shein simcha ella b'batzra, and simcha ella b'yayin. So everybody is besimcha in what makes them happy. But on a serious note, we understand that on Yom Tov, there is an obligation to eat meat and to drink wine. It's an obligation. Why is it an obligation? Whereas on Shabbos, there's also an obligation. Al su'udos Shabbos, A Yom Tov v'samachta bechagecha, rejoice on the Yom Tov, usually requires meat and wine. And here you have a fascinating statement of the Shulchan Aruch, that on Shavuos it's different. On Shavuos there is a minog to eat ma'achali chalav, to eat milchiks, to eat dairy products. Now again, we're not going to get into, there's a variety of different minhagim when it comes to dairy consumption on Shavuos. Some dafka have the first meal of Yom Tov as milchiks, others simply have a milchik appetizer, for lack of a better term, and then a fleishik meal. That way you're able to go ahead and satisfy all of the opinions. You're having milchiks, but at the same time you're having a fleishik, a meat meal for Simchas Yom Tov. We're not going to get into that right now. What I'd like to really delve into a little bit today is what's the nature and the meaning behind this minhag. So what I do want to point out is something dramatic, which is, if the Shulchan Aruch is introducing this minhag, and the minhag seems to fly in the face of normative Yom Tov convention, which says that on Yom Tov, you eat meat and you drink wine, you have fleishiks on Yom Tov, we have a minhag now to depart from that. The Rambam understands that the concept of eating meat and drinking wine in Yom Tov is actually fulfillment of a biblical obligation of rejoicing. Shulchan Aruch is saying we put that obligation on the side because on Yom Tov there's a need, on Shavuos there's a need to have milchiks. What's the nature of the meaning of this minug, both halachically as well as hashkafically? So time permitting, I'm going to go with you through four different approaches this morning. The first is perhaps the most well-known halachic approach. If you take a look at number four, so the Mishnah Berurah says, Ayin Magin Avram, V'ani Shamati B'Shem Gadol Echad, Sha'amartam Nachon Lazeh. There's a simple reason for this minug. Ki be'eis sha'amdu al har Sinai v'kiblu ha-Torah. Because when we stood in Har Sinai and received Torah, and this is very important as well, he writes in the brackets, Ki ba'aseres ha-dibros niskala lehem ayidei zeh kol chelki ha-Torah. One thing is clear, or let me say it differently. There is a significant amount of debate as to what exactly we received at Har Sinai. We say we received the Torah. One thing that everyone agrees with is we definitely received more than the Aseres HaDibros. We definitely received more than the Ten Commandments. That's for sure. How much more we received is subject to some level of dispute. Here, the Mishnah Berurah is quoting Rav Sajigon, and Rav Sajigon feels that all 613 mitzvot are contained within the Ten Commandments. In other words, if you delve into each of the Ten Commandments, you can extrapolate from them the 613 mitzvot. So Rav Sajigon holds that in some way, shape, or form, we received the entire Torah at Sinaitic revelation at Har Sinai. So what happened? We received the Torah. V'yardu min ahar lebeisam. So what happens? We received the Torah. And included in what we received is what, or was what? The halachos concerning proper meat preparation. And everyone knows, today we have it very easy, right? Proper meat preparation entails what? Right? Going to a place that sells kosher meat, purchasing it, and bringing it home. But of course we know there's much involved in the preparation of kosher meat. Everything ultimately, again, from proper shechita, proper slaughter, treburing, removing the gid hanosha, salting, soaking, removing blood, an incredible number of different halachos concerning meat preparation. So the Mishnah Berurah says like this, Klal Yisrael was assembled at the base of Har Sinai, received the Torah in its entirety, whatever that means, but received halachos, came back to their homes. V'yardu min ahar lebeisam, lo matzu ma le'echol tekif, ki im ma'achol echolav. They had a problem. When they came back from Sinaitic revelation, everybody's hungry, it was a big day, and what's the problem? There was nothing to eat except for dairy products. Why? Because at the end of the day, he goes on, he says, ki lebasar, tzarech hachana rabba, because to prepare meat requires an incredible amount of preparation. Sakin baduk, you need a special kind of shechita knife. Lenaker chuti achelev, you have to get rid of forbidden fats, the sciatic nerve, the git hanosha, dam, blood, lahadiach, limloch, to rinse, to soak, levashal bekelim chadoshim. Remember again, that's all just preparation of the meat. Then another issue, which was what? They had to kosher their kitchens, so to speak, when they came back from Matan Torah as well. As such, says the Mishnah Berurah, he goes on, he says, Im ke'alkar bachro mefisha ma'achol echalav v'anu zocher zechel azeh. So the Mishnah Berurah understands that the concept of milchiks on Shavuos comes from a simple utilitarian need. When we came back from Matan Torah, we were not yet prepared to prepare meat. Much goes into the preparation of kosher meat. We just learned these halachas. We just got these halachas now. We came back, we were hungry, and needed to eat now to prepare the kitchen, to prepare the knife, to prepare the food. So therefore, what do they eat? Blessed, what do they eat? They ate milchiks. And we commemorate this fact by eating milchiks on Shavuos as well. And that's why, by the way, according to this approach, you also begin to understand why, according to many opinions, the minhag of eating milchiks on Shavuos doesn't mean for all 2 days of Yom Tiv. And it might not even mean even in the course of a meal. It just might mean that sometime over Shavuos, you should eat milchiks. Sometimes, and by the way, very important, I want to dispel, it doesn't have to be cheesecake either. I just want to point out, although you would think by the proliferation of ads for cheesecake over Shavuos that somehow mamish one can't be Jewish without cheesecake consumption, repeated cheesecake consumption over the course of Yom Tiv. Again, it's any type of milchiks, any time, just to remember this event. But there are problems with this approach of the Mishnah Berurah. There are problems with this approach. What are the problems with this approach? So first of all, in number 5, the Gemara Masechet Shabbos explains that almost everyone agrees that the Torah was given on Shabbos. Torah was given on Shabbos. If the Torah was given on Shabbos, then there's another reason that they didn't eat meat, which was why? Can't shecht on Shabbos. In other words, so the problem just is the Mishnah Berurah, the Magen Avraham, make it sound like the whole reason we couldn't eat meat was because we weren't well-versed in the halachas. We weren't well-versed in the halachas. So all the Gemara seems to be saying is that there's a simple, more fundamental issue. And in fact, if you take a look at number 7, in the Sefer Sukkahs, David, he writes, Halo Amru Zal, Hakol Modim Debeshabbos Nitna Torah. V'im kein b'liach hanarab lo yuchol nushchot levash labasar shay aser lasos ma'alacha b'shabbes. So interestingly enough, remember, and by the way, to compound the issue, in fact, Klal Yisrael was already observing Shabbos even before Sinaitic revelation. Shabbos is one of the mitzvos that we received at Mara. The first stop that we made after crossing the Red Sea was in a place in Mara. There, Moshe Rabbeinu gave us certain halachos, and among those halachos, the laws of Shabbos. As such, some want to kind of poke a hole in this argument of the Mishnah Berurah that we ate milchiks because there was nothing else to eat. It's not true. It could be that we ate milchiks because at the end of the day, you couldn't prepare meat on that Shabbos. There's another issue. What's the other issue? The more fundamental issue. The truth is, when we came back from Matan Torah, we didn't need milchiks and we didn't need fleishiks. Why?
Because we had mun.
Remember, again, Klal Yisrael had the mun. There was what to eat. Now, the truth is, that's not as strong of a question because there's nothing to say that the Jewish people didn't supplement their mun diet with other things. In other words, the receiving of mun doesn't preclude you from cooking. You think to yourself, why would anyone in their right mind want to do that if you're getting mun? But okay, it could be that people eat other stuff in addition to the mun. That's possible. But again, when you put this all together, it leaves the Mishnah Berurah's approach somewhat questionable. So again, Mishnah Berurah tells us we eat milchiks on Shavuos to remember the fact that when we came back after Sinaitic revelation and now had received this whole new body of law, Hilchos Kashrus, we were woefully unprepared to prepare meat, ultimately, again, coming back Har Sinai. Two problems with that. Number one, we received the Torah on Shabbos. Number two, we were getting mun anyway, which then leads us to another approach. If you take a look at number 9, Shulchan Aruch says something very beautiful. Another approach for this. Shulchan Aruch says, Venirali, Hatam, Kimo Shnei Tavshilin, Shelochen Belal Pesach, Zecher LePesach, V'Zecher LeChagiga. So remember, this is actually, number 9 is actually a continuation of number 1. The Shulchan Aruch himself says, why is it that we have a custom to eat milchiks, to eat dairy on Shavuos? This is actually related to a different practice, or I should say a different remembrance. On Shavuos, there was a unique carbon that was brought, which was called the Shtei Halechem. A unique carbon that was brought that was comprised of 2 loaves. The Shulchan Aruch suggests that the reason we eat milchiks on Shavuos is to remember the offering of the 2 loaves. How does that work? Watch this. V'achar kach ma'achal basar. U'tzrichin lahavi imahen beiz lechem al hashulchan. Shehu b'makom hamizbeach. V'yesh baze zikaron lebeiz halechem. Shemakivin b'yom ha'bikurim. So let's unravel this a little bit. So the Shulchan says something amazing. Shavuos, special offering. Shtei alechem, of the two loaves. So there's an interesting halacha in Yaradeya, which is, you are not permitted to use the same loaf of bread for a milchik's meal and a fleishik meal. That's the halacha. Now the truth is, Rav Moshe Feinstein, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, explains that in fact, that what this really applies to is the cut part of the loaf. So this comes up all the time. You're having a Shabbos meal, a fleishik Shabbos meal, you cut up the challah, you have leftover challah. You don't want to throw out leftover challah, but here's important to remember. You could reuse that challah, of course, but if you served it with a fleishik meal, you could only use that with a fleishik meal. You cannot go ahead and use that cut up challah for a milchik meal or a milchik purpose. Now, the Moshe paskins that the part of the loaf that has not been cut, assuming that not everybody's hands were on it, right? Assuming that, right, it was just a person cutting it, that loaf there remains intact, that could be used with a milchik meal afterwards, but not the cut up part of the loaf. By the way, I just want to point out, that's different than the way you'll find the halach in Shulchan Aruch. The way the halach is codified in Shulchan Aruch is that if you serve the loaf of bread with a fleishik meal, you cannot use that loaf with a milchik meal. So the truth is, meal etiquette has changed over the years, and it's clear, you see this right in the Gemara and later on, that it was not uncommon for people to take a piece of the loaf, right? You're at a meal, there'd be a loaf on the table, people would take a piece of the loaf. As such, every loaf that was on the table during a fleishik meal, one would have to be concerned that people with fleishik hands touched it, some schmutz got on it, and therefore you couldn't serve it. Again, our mealtime etiquette is a bit different. So the Shulchan Aruch says something absolutely amazing, which is as follows, that ultimately, why do we eat milchiks? And this is amazing. So the way you reason you'd eat milchiks is because, by definition, milchiks would require you to have two loaves at the table. Why? Because essentially, this is the way in the Shulchan Aruch's mind your Yom Tov meal is unfolding. So that you'd have, let's say, a milchiks beginning part of the meal, milchiks appetizer, we'll call it. You'll have one loaf. When the milchiks segment of the meal is over, what is going to happen? You're going to clear off the table, remove that loaf, and what? Bring out another loaf. So now you've effectively, over the course of your meal, had two loaves of bread. What's the significance of two loaves of bread corresponding to the Shtei Halechem, the two loaves which were offered on Shavuos? Take a look at number 10 in the Mishnah Berurah. Rotze lomar, kishem sheba Pesach osin zecha lekarbon, just like on Pesach, right, at the Seder, we make a remembrance to the Karban Pesach. Kach anut kein anut tzrichin la'asos b'Shavuos zecha l'Shtei Halechem shayim avien. On Shavuos also we're obligated to go ahead and make a remembrance to the two loaves that they brought on Shavuos. Va'al kein ochlim ma'achalei chalav, va'achar kach ma'achal basar. So this is amazing, by the way. The Mishnah Berurah's model and the Shulchan Aruch's model is there was no way you were having a milchiks meal on Shavuos, like heresy, right? Milchiks meal on Shavuos. Why would you not be having a milchiks meal on Shavuos? Why? Because you need basar on Yom Tov. You need meat on Yom Tov. Say you weren't having a milchiks meal. Don't worry. There are plenty of opinions who say you have milchik meals over Yom Tov. I'm just saying from the Shulchan Aruch's perspective, you were having essentially a milchiks appetizer. That milchiks appetizer required one loaf. Then you would clear off the milchiks appetizer. And then what would happen? V'achar kach ma'achal basar. And you would have to bring two loaves of bread. So therefore again, says the Shulchan, this is the Shulchan Aruch's opinion. Shulchan Aruch's opinion is it has nothing to do with not being well versed enough to prepare meat. The two loaves, the obligation of, so this is what's interesting. According to the Shulchan Aruch, there is no inherent importance to milchiks in and of itself on Shavuos. Milchix is not an ends. Milchix is what? It's a means. A means for what? To ensure that you're going to have two loaves. The milchix ensures that if you have the milchix appetizer, this way you'll go ahead and have one loaf with that, clear that off, then bring the fleishik meal, have a second loaf. Now I know what you're thinking.
Why would you wash for an appetizer? Why would that require two loaves of bread? So understand.
First of all, so again, another dramatic difference in meal etiquette. Halacha always assumes you're washing for every meal. So just understand, this is a newfound thing that we have become carb-conscious people, right? That suddenly, again, we don't eat bread, right? Again, all you need to do, if you know any, and unfortunately they are a vanishing breed, European Jews, right? European Jews washed for everything. For everything. You washed three times a day. It didn't make a difference if the bread was part of it. That's what you did. And by the way, that was reflective, ultimately, again, of halachic norm. I'm telling you, this is a new thing that suddenly, again, we don't eat bread as often. So you were always washing. You were always washing. The truth is, there's another fundamental question which you're thinking, which is, anyway, you have two loaves. Good. You have lecha mishnah. So remember, again, not our topic for today. There is a fascinating discussion as to whether or not there is an obligation of Lecha Mishnah on Yom Tov. And this goes back to a fundamental discussion in Tosfos and Maseches Be'ah as to whether or not it was only on Erev Shabbos that a double portion of man fell, or was it on Erev Yom Tov as well that a double portion of man, meaning many opinions hold that the man fell as regularly scheduled on Yom Tov. It was only on Shabbos that it did not. So the Shulchan Aruch is obviously echoing the sentiment that on Yom Tov by itself, you would not necessarily have two loaves. But even if you would have two loaves, there's something dramatic in bringing the loaves one at a time. There's something dramatic in ultimately causing yourself to have to require another loaf. So according to this second approach, the concept of milchix on Shavuos has absolutely nothing to do with Sinaitic revelation and everything to do with the special carbon of the Yom Tov. Shavuos' carbon is shtei halechem, the two loaves. We create a scenario, we create a reality where by definition you're going to require two loaves by eating milchix first and fleishik second. Also now you begin to hear many people have this minog. Many people have this minog to have milchix at the beginning of the meal and then fleishik afterwards. And it also goes back to say you're not obligated to do this every meal. That's why the Shulchan Aruch himself says that we do this when? On the first day of Yom Tov. Right? There's an obligation to make a remembrance to the Shtei Alechem, to the two loaves being offered, but not necessarily an obligation to do this at every single meal. A third approach. Take a look at number 12. The Sefer Tamam and Hagim says something amazing. O Tam, Mishum Shatora Eino Oheves Ela Shiflus. What HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves more than anything is humility. Humility. Humility is a prerequisite to spiritual growth. Humility is a prerequisite to spiritual accomplishment. You can't do anything without a sense of humility. L'chein. L'kach. B'yamim kadmonim. Hayulomdim al ha'aretz. It used to be in earlier generations that when Talmidim would sit and learn from their Rebbe, so Talmidim, students, would sit on the ground and the Rebbe would be sitting on a chair, ultimately representing this idea that in order to acquire spirituality, in order to acquire Torah, you must humble yourself. Which, by the way, we understand is a very basic idea. It's not just Torah. In order to learn anything in life, you have to admit the fact that you don't know everything. If I know everything, there's nothing for me to learn. If I know everything, there's no way for me to grow. Therefore, humility is a prerequisite for spiritual growth. Therefore, u'ma'achal cholav hu katnus. So amazingly enough, this is quoted over here in the name of the tzaddik, Rav Pinchas of Karitz, who says, milchix is the food of humility. Milchix is the food of humility. Now again, I want to point out over here, this also reflects different societal norms, right? So today one can make the argument, My one of my daughters who's very into cooking, She came and said, Tati, look what we're going to make over Shavuos, right? We're going to make this and we're going to make that. I never heard of 3/4 of these things. I'm like, can't we just have like a piece of meat and some potatoes? It's easier for everyone, right? Everyone said, so maybe milchiks is not the food of humility today as much, but at least historically, milchiks was the food of humility. It was the food of katnus. And as such, says the Tamei Rehagim so beautifully, Shavuos is the yomtov of Kabbalah's HaTorah. Shavuos is the yomtov ultimately, again, of Sinaitic revelation, where we are given the greatest gift that God ever bestowed upon a nation, our beautiful Torah Kedosha. But if you want to use it, and you want to learn it, and you want to grow from it, you have to humble yourself. The only way to approach Torah is with a recognition of shiflus, a recognition of lowliness. We spoke about this last week. People confuse humility does not mean walking around telling yourself that you are a nothing. Humility does not mean walking around telling yourself that you are worthless. That's poor self-esteem. That's low self-confidence. That could be clinical depression. Humility ultimately means saying, I know that I accomplished great things. And I know that I've done great things in my life. But I also know that I've only reached the tip of the iceberg of my potential. I know that for everything I have done, there's 10 more things that I should be doing. For every unit of accomplishment, there's so much more that I could be, so much more that I could do. That's humility. Therefore, says the Tzaddik Pinchas of Karetz, when you ultimately come to Shavuos, Kabbalah's HaTorah, we eat milchiks. We eat the food of humility. You are what you eat. The hope is that if I ingest the food of humility, it will endow me with the midah of humility. And where there is humility, there's incredible opportunity for growth. It's interesting, if you look at number 13, the Talal Chaim writes about this same idea, not regarding milchiks, but in a different context. He writes, "Be'inyan matan Torah b'midbar." There's an incredible amount of discussion in general. I think we've spoken about this in past years as to the location of Kabbalah HaTorah. It is fascinating that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the Torah in the middle of nowhere. One would have thought that Sinaitic revelation would have been an incredible destination event, right? I would have thought that if I was asked, if, not that I'm asked, but if I were to be asked, where should we give Torah? I would have said, Eretz Yisrael, Yerushalayim, Harabayis, place of Akedas Yitzchak, place of the Beis HaMikdash, but yet Torah is given in the middle of nowhere. Literally in the middle of nowhere, right? To the point that we don't even know the exact location of Har Sinai today, according to most opinions, and to the point that even if we did know the exact location of Har Sinai, that mountain has no holiness. You want to go up and take your family up to the top of Har Sinai and play frisbee and picnic? You can go right ahead and do that. Contrast that with Harabayis, which even in the absence of the Beis HaMikdash still retains all of its Kedusha. Why is the Torah given in the middle of nowhere? So the Talal Chaim posits, he says, "Ki hine matzinu zeka amuka." Second line in number 13, Bein HaTorah Bein HaMidbar. There is a strong connection between Torah and the desert. Namely what? Ukimokim, Berav Hashem nikreis parshas b'midbar b'samach l'chag ha-shvus, u'bevadai yesh kesher, bein parshas zu bein matan Torah. B'ofen she parshas zu, skip down a little bit. Skip down to the second paragraph. Hine inyan osef v'shar shimeo b'sod ha-midbar, hu b'chinas midas ha-anava. Ki ha-midbar hu b'chinas anava. The desert represents humility. The desert represents humility. The desert is vast, but the desert is empty, right? The desert is open. Whereas ultimately habitable areas can be a bit more arrogant because they have so much more infrastructure. The desert by definition is humble because of its astonishing emptiness. The Talal Chaim posits once again that HaKadosh Baruch Hu chooses to give His Torah in the middle of the desert to once again highlight this all-important lesson that humility is a prerequisite for spiritual growth. Without humility, I cannot gain any traction in my relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. With humility, the heavens are the limit. So we see this incredible humility motif when it comes to Kabbalah HaTorah, both in terms of the location of Kabbalah HaTorah, and according to the Tzaddik Reb Pinchas of Karetz, in milchiks. Milchiks, dairy products, are the food of humility, and therefore, again, we ingest dairy products in the month of Shavuos to remind us ultimately of the centrality and necessity of humility as a prerequisite for spiritual growth. Which now leads us to our last approach. Our last approach, which is a little bit different. So take a look at number 14. So the Mishnah Maseches Rosh Hashanah says something amazing. Ba'arba prakim ha'olam nido. The world is judged at four different intervals, four different judgment days throughout the year. The Pesach ha'latvua. On Pesach, we are judged regarding the output of grain, how much grain the world is going to produce. Ba'atzeres apeiro sa'ilon. On Shavuos, we are judged regarding fruit trees. Shavuos is the Rosh Hashanah. We think of Tu B'Shvat as the Rosh Hashanah li'ilanos. That is true for tithing purposes. But in terms of like what the output of the fields are going to be that year, or what the output of the trees are going to be, that's on Shavuos. And then, of course, the Gemara talks about regular Rosh Hashanah, Aleph Tishrei, which is the day of judgment. Rosh Hashanah, Kol Ba'ei Olam, Ovrim Lefanav Kibnei Maron, on Rosh Hashanah, the first of Tishrei, we call Rosh Hashanah, all of the inhabitants of the world walk before God like sheep, Shene'emar, and ultimately HaKadosh Baruch Hu judges them, and on Sukkis we are judged for water. To which leads the Gemara number 15 to say something amazing. Atu atzeres Rosh Hashanah. Is that true? That Shavuos is really a Rosh Hashanah? Now, who ever thought about it like that? That Shavuos is actually a Rosh Hashanah. To which the Gemara says, in atzeres nami Rosh Hashanah. Atzeres is Shavuos is a Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah for what? Uba atzeres al peiros ha'ilon. Ultimately, again, Shavuos is the Rosh Hashanah for the trees and its fruits. And the Sfasemis, the Ger Rebbe, comes along and says something so dramatically amazing. Take a look at number 16. Writes the Sfasemis. Achatorah nikreis Eitz Chaim. You know, the Torah itself is called the Tree of Life. Ukimo she'ilan motzi peros b'chol shana v'shana. Just as a tree brings forth fruit each and every year, Kimokin hatora mischadeshes peroseha b'chol shana v'shana. This is beautiful. In the same way that the tree brings forth its fruit every single year, the Torah itself renews its fruit every single year as well. What does that mean? V'lachin ba'atzeres al peros ha'ilan haynu hischadshus hatora shenikra itzchayim v'chein isa b'svarim. The Sas Emes says something amazing. Shavuos is the Rosh Hashanah for Ruchnius. Shavuos is the Rosh Hashanah for spirituality. Spirituality itself renews on the Yom Tov of Shavuos. The same way that Aleph Tishrei, what we call colloquially Rosh Hashanah, is the Rosh Hashanah for physical life. Zachreinu l'chaim, melechofetz b'chaim, v'kasveinu b'sefer ha'chaim. We believe that on the first of Tishrei, HaKadosh Baruch Hu decides, mi yichye u'mi yamos. Who is going to live and who is going to die? It's the Rosh Hashanah, it's the new year ultimately for our physical lives. What Rosh Hashanah is to our gashmius, the Sas Emes posits, Shavuos is to our ruchnius. Shavuos is the Rosh Hashanah for spirituality. Just like we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu on Rosh Hashanah, Aleph Tishrei, give me another year of life. Give me another year of longevity. Provide my spouse, my children, my parents, my community, my people with life. On Shavuos is where I say HaKadosh Baruch Hu, give me another burst of spirituality. Renew my ruchnius. It's Rosh Hashanah le'ilanos. What is the tree? The tree is Eitz Chaim hi l'machazikim ba. It is the tree of Torah. Shavuos is where HaKadosh Baruch Hu endows us with an additional dimension of spirituality, an additional piece of the tree. It goes on. V'lachin nikra yom habikurim. Shavuos is called the day of Bikurim. We're going to come to this in just a moment. We'll come back to this in just a moment. Kimo di'isav medrash shekhal naviim v'chacham kiblu b'har sinai chelkom b'torah rakshin esparshu divrayim kolacha b'shaito. Kimo came b'chol chag shavuos zman matan taraseinu mekablin b'nei yisrael chelek Mehatora mischadeshes akol yimei hashana. Just like on Tishrei, on Rosh Hashanah, I receive, hopefully, the gift of a new year of life, physical life. On Shavuos, I receive the gift of a new year of spiritual life. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives me, or I ask Him to give me, another wave of spiritual energy. V'achar kach, motziyim mikoach halapo, kol echad b'mkomo b'shaito. So this is amazing. So just the way the Sfas Emes reads the Gemara, when the Gemara says that Atzeres ultimately again is the Rosh Hashanah for Peros Ha'ilon, the fruit of the tree. According to the Sfas Emes, what does that refer to? The tree refers to Torah. It's on Shavuos that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us the gift of a new tidal wave of spiritual energy. He gives us the tree. But once He gives us the tree, it's up to us to do what? To bring the peros, to bring the fruit. The tree represents Torah. The fruit represents what we choose to do with that Torah. Herein lies the greatness of Shavuos. And by the way, we know the tree imagery. Tree sometimes symbolizes Torah, but tree also symbolizes what or who? Us. Ki Adam eats hasada. And it all comes together. It's on Shavuos where HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives me a brand new portion. He gives me the tree, a new portion in the tree. The tree being the tree of Torah. The Eitz Chaim Hila Machazikim Ba, the tree of life for all those who cling to it. And our HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks the same way that on Tishrei, you know, for us, it's kind of like when Sukkis is over, so we breathe a sigh of relief, right? And I understand, why do we breathe a sigh of relief? Why? I'm sorry? Because we assume, we're optimists. So I assume HaKadosh Baruch Hu was inscribing for another year of life. Everything is going to be great. What we often forget is that is correct. You should absolutely be optimistic when the Yom Tov Mor that you have been sealed for a year of life. What we forget is those gifts are always conditional. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us life to do something with it. So in fact, again, that optimism has to be accompanied by a little bit of anxiety. I am confident that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given me a new year of life. Now, what am I going to do with it? Like, how am I going to maximize it? How do I optimize this particular gift? I'm confident that I got it, but now what do I do with it? Shavuos is the Rosh Hashanah for Ruchnius. So I believe with all of my heart that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to give more tree to the tree. I'm the tree, Ki Adam Eitz Hasada, and He's going to give me another burst of spirituality. He's going to give me another year of spiritual life. He's going to endow me with another tidal wave of spiritual energy. Fantastic! And now what? What type of fruit am I going to go ahead and create? That's why Shavuos is the Yom Tov of Bikurim, right? It's the Yom Tov of first fruits. That's when we begin to bring Bikurim, is on Shavuos. First fruits. I receive, it's a brand new year, just like I believe I got a year of life. I know I got a year of life. So now I'm getting another year of spiritual life. Fantastic. What are you going to do with these Bikurim? What are you going to do with your Peros? What kind of fruit are you going to allow to flourish in your life? Gifts are fantastic, but they're only meaningful if at the end of the day you do something with it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us, we are the beneficiaries of so many divine gifts. The greatest tragedy in life, you know how everyone has in their closet those gifts that you received from someone that you're never ever going to wear and never going to use. You just feel bad throwing them out, because they came from someone who either you love or you know who loves you, so you have guilt. But they sit in the closet, no matter how many times you move, they're going to get packed up, they're going to get unpacked, and they will never get used. Do you know how many of us go through life like that as well? HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us gifts, and we make the terrible mistake of putting the gifts in the closet, of just not using them. And these gifts are transformative. These gifts are life-affirming. Those are the fruits. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm going to give you the gift. I'm going to give you the tree. But now you have to produce the fruit. You have to produce the bikurim. And amazingly enough, that lashon of bikurim comes from what lashon? The same word as what? Bechar. So I want to show you something amazing. Do you know one of the first mitzvot that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us at the end of Parshas Bo? We left Egypt. We left Egypt. One of the first mitzvot that God gives us is in number 17. Kadesh li kol bechar peta kol recha b'mini yisra ba'adam u'behema lihu. It's an interesting mitzvah. We're actually learning this in Daf Yomi now. Sanctify for me every firstborn. Right? The one who opens the womb among the children of Israel, among man and among animals, is mine. This is the concept of Bechar. So we know that again, Bechar, a human Bechar, right? The firstborn son has Kiddush, has to be redeemed. Pidyon HaBen, firstborn animal becomes the property of the Kohen. The first mitzvah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us upon emancipation is a mitzvah having to do with firstborns, Bechar. Why is that? Writes the great tzaddik Rabbi Yisrael of Rishon. Take a look at number 18. Harotze l'kayim kadesh li. The Rishoner understands that it is to be read as a formula. Kadesh li. If you want to become holy, letar ulis kadesh bikdusha shamala. If you really want to become holy in life, which is what we all want, hare berosh berishon haderechi kol bechar. The pathway ultimately again to personal holiness is paved with kol bechar. What does that mean? Bechar haynu tchila lebanim veromeiz lahaschala lihischadshos. The pathway to true holiness is paved by taking advantage of new beginnings. New beginnings are exciting. New beginnings are awesome. New beginnings can be overwhelming. But when you have a new beginning in life, you have an opportunity to chart for yourself a different course. Write the Sfas Emes. Who, none of us, at least I never thought of Shavuos in the same before I saw this day from the Rebbe. Shavuos is a beautiful Yom Tov. We all love Shavuos. Who doesn't love Shavuos? But I think for many of us, we've been missing out on the real power of this Yom Tov. This is not another Yom Tov. This is the Rosh Hashanah for Ruchnius. What Rosh Hashanah in Tishrei is for my physical life, the Rosh Hashanah of Shavuos is for my spiritual life. A brand new beginning. Where HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Adam Eitz Asad, man, you are a tree. I'm going to give you more of the tree, the Eitz Chaim, and give you another dose of spirituality. You know, in Chassidus, there's a concept of His Orusa de la Ila, His Orusa de la Tasa. So inspiration from above and inspiration from below. What does that mean? Inspiration from below, we understand. That's when a person self-inspires. But you know, in life, you never have a moment where you just feel inspired. You're not sure why, you're not sure what. That's a gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's called a wave of inspiration that comes down from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because sometimes the Ibn Shalom realizes, I'm just not getting my act together. So what does he do? He gives me like the booster cables, right? He puts the booster cables on my soul, and he sends down a wave of divine energy to awaken me just a little bit. That's Shavuos. Shavuos is the Rosh Hashanah for Ruchnius. It's ultimately, again, the Rosh Hashanah for Peros HaIlon. He gives me the tree, an additional measure of the tree of Torah. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm going to give you the tidal wave of spiritual energy. It's now your job to bring Bikurim. It's now your job, Kadesh Li, Kol Bechar. Take this new beginning and do something amazing with it. So it turns out that actually the Yom Tov of Shavuos is a brand new beginning. A brand new beginning in Ruchnius. Because a lot of times in life, on a Ruchni level, on a spiritual level, I'm not where I want to be. I'm not doing the things that I should be doing. Or maybe I'm doing things that I should not be doing. There are elements of my lifestyle that I know need to change. There are aspects of my persona that I know some of them need to be tweaked, some of them need to be totally remade and redone. And very often over the course of the year, just these things that I know I have to do kind of get lost in the shuffle. Shavuos is the Rosh Hashanah for Peros HaIlon. Shavuos is the time where HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, sit back, enjoy the cheesecake. I'm going to fill your soul with spirituality. I remember again, if you think about it, what happened at Har Sinai? What did we do at Har Sinai? What did we do? What did we do? We stood there. Har Sinai was a passive act. It's true. We said Na'aseh v'nishma. You have to check in. You do have to check in. God's not going to give you anything if you don't stand up and be counted. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not going to give you anything if you don't say Na'aseh v'nishma. I have to say Na'aseh v'nishma. I'm really interested in being a bigger tree. I'm really interested in this new beginning. So Na'aseh v'nishma, I take a step forward. I'm here. But once I step in, once I opt in, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, beautiful. I'm going to fill your soul with holiness. Obviously, we have to do things over Yom Tov as well. That's why there's such an emphasis on learning on Shavuos. That's why, amazingly enough, if you look at it, Shavuos is a fascinating holiday. Why? Because there is no external mitzvah. Unlike the other regalim, where on Pesach you have the Seder, you have Matzah, Sukkis, you have a Sukkah, Shavuos, you have nothing. I mean, now you have nothing, but meaning there's no unique Shavuos mitzvah because the goal of Shavuos is not something dramatically different. The goal of Shavuos is sit and learn Torah. The goal of Shavuos is do chesed, like Rus. The goal of Shavuos ultimately, again, is fine-tune your spirituality because the HaKadosh Baruch Hu is about to fill your soul with a dramatic tidal wave of spiritual energy. And your job over Shavuos is to figure out what fruit are you going to produce? What bikurim are you going to bring? How are you going to actualize your holiness? Kadesh li with kol bechar. You're being given a new beginning, a tabla rasa, a blank slate, a spiritual Rosh Hashanah, a brand new beginning. Now, what are you going to do with it? And perhaps you could suggest that maybe this is part and parcel of the minhag of milchiks on Shavuos. Perhaps, so perhaps you could feel free to disagree, of course, but perhaps the custom of milchiks on Shavuos is almost to be reminiscent of mother's milk, of a brand new beginning. Shavuos is the Rosh Hashanah for Ruchnius. Just like we see on Rosh Hashanah and Tishrei, Hayom Haras Ha'olam. Today the world was created. Brand new beginning. Maybe Chazal wanted us to really feel the new beginning of Shavuos. You see, Rosh Hashanah, it's easier to feel everything that hangs in the balance. Because at the end of the day, there's Elul, there's Rosh Hashanah, there's Aseres Yemei Tshuva. We know what's at stake. It's harder to feel the Rosh Hashanah of Ruchnius when it comes to Shavuos. But maybe ultimately the Ma'achali Chalaf, maybe the milks, maybe the dairy products are supposed to remind us of the beginning. Of the beginning. How does it start out for all of us? It never starts with a steak and two sides. That's for sure. So how does it start? It starts with milks. It starts with milk. Right? It starts again, whether that's from a mother, whether it's from me, whatever it is. It starts with the simplest of all things. That is the building block of our physicality. And we know that in a mother's milk, there's so much more than just nutrients, than just vitamins. When a mother nurses her child, she's giving herself, she's imbuing that child with a part of herself. It's a brand new beginning for that child. And what that mother is really saying when she nurses is, I hope the good things that I could pass on to you, I give to you. But I also hope that you'll do better and be better than I ever was and ever will be. That's the silent bracha that every parent has for their child. We eat milchiks on Shavuos to remind ourselves, brand new beginning, brand new rebirth, tabla rasa, blank slate. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is endowing us with an incredible and overwhelming measure of brand new spiritual energy. And it's up to us to create the most beautiful fruit of accomplishment. So if you bring this all together, it turns out that a simple minhag of eating milchiks on Shavuos yields for us so many fascinating ideas. Either, according to the Mishnah Berurah, the goal ultimately is to recreate Sinaitic revelation. And just like our ancestors, when they came back hungry after receiving the Torah, couldn't eat meat because they were not well-versed enough in the halachos, so too, again, we don't eat meat as well. Second possibility is that even though we don't have the Beis HaMikdash yet, we try to keep the Beis HaMikdash and its practices alive in our lives. And therefore, by beginning the meal with milchiks and then transitioning to fleishiks, it necessitates two loaves. The two loaves to be reminiscent ultimately of the Shtei HaLechem offering, the two loaf offering of Shavuos. But again, to understand why we're doing that, because ultimately, again, my Yom Tov is going to be beautiful, it's going to be wonderful. But oh, how I yearn and how I pine for my Beis HaMikdash, for a rebuilt Yerushalayim, for Mashiach. And I keep that yearning and pining ever present on my mind and at my table. Third approach. The Milchix represents ultimately humility. That if you want to grow in spirituality, the prerequisite is acknowledging, accepting, and articulating, I don't know it all. I don't know it all. You know, there's an amazing Gemara Masechet Shabbos. The Gemara says, Lamad Lashon Chalomar Eini Yodea. You have to teach your tongue to say, I don't know. So why do I have to teach my tongue to say? Because it is unnatural for people to say they don't know. Why? Because I like to put forward the image that I know everything, I have all of the answers, I've got this all under control. But I don't know most things. I have very few answers, and I have almost nothing under control. But that humility is liberating. And that humility ultimately is the prerequisite to spiritual growth. Milchik says, the tzaddik of Karetz, or Pinchas of Karetz, is the food of humility. We ingest the food of humility to hopefully awaken within ourselves those feelings of humility, which then lay the groundwork ultimately for spiritual growth and growth in Torah. And our fourth and final approach, that the greatness, the great secret of Shavuos, is that it's not just simply another day. It's not simply an anniversary ultimately again for Kabbalah HaTorah, but that Shavuos is Rosh Hashanah. What Tishrei is for our Rosh Hashanah, for our physical lives, Shavuos is Rosh Hashanah for our spiritual lives. But in this Shavuos, this Rosh Hashanah is a little bit different. In this Rosh Hashanah, there's not an element of judgment. You see, that's the difference. In Tishrei, there's an element of judgment. What did you do last year? And then depending on what you did last year, that's how we're going to go ahead and decide what's going to be next year. Shavuos doesn't have that. Shavuos is almost like spiritual amnesty. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, whatever you did, you did. Here's the deal. I'm willing to give you this tidal wave of spiritual energy, but there's one prerequisite. What's the prerequisite? You must produce fruit. You must bring bikurim. If you are willing to do something great with that spiritual energy that I'll give you, then I'll give it to you. No questions asked. I won't look at what you did last year, didn't do last year. The condition is I'll give you the energy, you bring the fruit, you bring the bikurim. This is the great power of the Yom Tov of Shavuos. So we should be Zoche Amir Tzashem. That over the course of this Yom Tov of Shavuos, whether you eat milchiks, one meal, every meal, whether you eat milchiks as part of the meal or you just eat milchiks as the appetizer, as we often say, those are just the mechanistic details. More importantly than physically consuming the milchiks is spiritually ingesting the message of the milchiks. We should be Zoche Miratz Hashem to ingest these messages. We should be Zoche Miratz Hashem to yearn for the Beis HaMikdash. Be Zoche to recreate Sinaitic revelation. Be Zoche to find humility on ourselves. But most importantly, be Zoche to take advantage of this brand new Rosh Hashanah, this brand new beginning. Appreciate the wave of spirituality that is going to wash over us. And may each of us in our own way be Zoche to bring the most beautiful fruit of Bikurim, the most beautiful fruit of accomplishment in the year to come. Dear friends, by now you may have heard that we are in the middle of an exciting raffle. The details of this raffle can be found on www.suburbanorthodox.org/raffle. Through the shul and the institute, we have the privilege to deliver a wide variety of shiurim, lectures, and learning opportunities. But we need your help. We need your partnership. When you purchase a raffle ticket or many, you are helping us to continue to ensure that we could spread the beautiful and meaningful message to literally all four corners of the world. Thank you in advance for your help and much hatzlacha.